Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I'm Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I am Kendall Vanderbilt, and I most definitely have a trading problem.
It's like what we'd like to hear. What's up, everybody? Welcome to session 424 of the Tradex podcast, where even though the network went away, the DAP is always here to stay. I have a new camera. I had to move the DAP. And as you hear, we have Kendall Vanderbilt joining us again. I think it's been about a year or so, maybe a little more, since Kendall's been on. So, Kendall, before we get started, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah, just a fantasy football player. No one important. But we're working on that part. Longtime player, 20 years in the fantasy industry, really serious for 10. And this last two or three, we've been actually giving the industry side of fantasy football a little bit of a run and trying to join you boys and the wonderful community out there. So turned on the camera, started doing the YouTube thing a couple years ago, and we're still figuring out how to do that, the fancy side of things. But yeah, you can find me at the Fantasy Football Network and in the Mock Draft Streets pretty much every night.
Yes, and people might remember Evan Sather, who was on, so he is also a Fantasy Football Network guy with Kendall, so we're just stacking the network, guys. But we can move on to
the news.
And we start with Jacoby Brissett finally ended his holdout. The world's most important holdout is over, Kendall. 1 year, $15.5 million, up to 21 in incentives. Now what? That's my question for you. Now what?
Good question, right? Because he's a little bit better than a typical bridge quarterback. The big problem really isn't Brissett. Anytime it's a Arizona Cardinals question, isn't the big take like, what are the Cardinals going to do, though? Because as fans, mm-hmm. I think we have better answers than they have had in the last three, maybe 4 years. So hard to say. I already looking at the camp film, seeing what they're doing to poor Jeremiah Love. I was thinking he might be more of a 1.5 year guy, but they might be a little bit worse than I had anticipated. So we'll see how quickly Beck gets in there.
Rocky, now what?
Now we can go back to not caring at all about Jacoby.
He was good last year.
I was actually going to say that. He was very good when he came in last year. I was actually trying to pull that up.
New offense, though, I will acknowledge. And the Antichrist himself, Nathaniel Hackett, is the OC. So, as we've already told this week. So, while Rocky looks at that, I don't think this changes too much about Brissett's value because I wasn't really lowering him with this to begin with. He's QB 38 on Football Guys, and that feels low but right-ish, kind of, just because he's probably only there for a year. And if you need some contending points, that's fine. Like, go grab Jacoby Brissett, but... Rocky, do you have it?
He was QB7 from when he took over for Kyler in week six.
It's just crazy.
Yeah. So
on like 40 passes a game or something, though, right? He threw a lot.
Yeah. I don't have that as numbers in front of me, but he had 485 on the year over like 11, 12 weeks. So yeah, that works out about 40 passes a game. But we could see 40 passes a game again because they are not going to be very good. And he's got some decent weapons. So, like you said, I don't hate him as like a contending QB 2-3. I do think he starts the whole year. I don't think like they really need to see what they have in Carson Beck, Maybe they will. I don't know. I'm not high on Beck.
They don't have a lot based on the videos.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not like they – like you could call him a bridge, but I think he's a bridge to next year. So I do think he probably starts the whole year. Maybe they put Beck in very late when they're like 2-10 or 11 or something like that. But just because it doesn't matter. But I think he likely starts the whole year. And I mean, this contract doesn't change. I expect him to be signed the whole time. It's just a matter of when and how much.
Kendall, Michael Wilson or Marvin Harrison?
Marvin Harrison.
Okay. Yeah, they said, I know the video went around of his back seizing up. Apparently it was just cramps. He's fine. So no major issues. Rocky, last thing, what would you trade for Brissett? Would you trade a contending second for Brissett? In the 27 draft, I'm going to make you answer.
I think you'd have to. Would I? Yeah, I don't think anyone's taking like thirds for him. No. If they already have him on the roster.
Maybe a 28 second I'd get there, but.
Yeah, I feel like that makes more sense. I think I might, if a, depending on what my quarterback situation is, but in most situations, no.
Yeah. Okay. Daniel Jones is fully cleared from his Achilles tear and will be at camp.
Yippee!
And Dynastud said fully cleared, was carrying a lot of weight. Shut up. Leave Daniel Jones alone. I heard this stat today. If you remove the game in Jacksonville where he got hurt in like the very first quarter, like had 0.2 points, he was QB8 last year. So Dynastud's question is, discuss why Frank loves the Colts offense, Rocky hates it, and tell us what Kendall thinks. Kendall, where are you on the Colts offense with Daniel Jones coming back?
So here's my thing. I am not a big Daniel Jones truther or anything, but the offense was really competent under a coaching staff that I thought was above average, but nothing like ridiculously special. And I'm an individual fan of a lot of their individual pieces. But as a unit, I've never thought super lofty of them, but also not poor, right? What I know is when you look at them on paper, I was a big fan of Josh Downs throughout the scouting process. I'm big on him, right? If you look at the weapons, him and Pierce, I mean they're a good one too, but then you add Warren on top of that and you start comparing them pretty favorably to a lot of other offenses where Warren makes the difference. And then you remember, like, oops, just add JT, which is a significantly better piece than a lot of teams have, and you have a good offensive roster that also covers a lot of different roles. And Daniel Jones was almost begrudgingly competent last year if you were an anti-Daniel Jones guy through a lot of that time. So I'm going to give a lot of the credit to coaching. I think coaching matters with a quarterback like Daniel Jones. We just saw what happens with poor coaching with a Jalen Hurts. You see what happens with good coaching with someone like DJ, and there's a night and day difference. So I don't think they have a crazy ceiling. But I would rather be more in and bullish on them, because with mediocre quarterback play, they were a top 10 offense, you know, and I think honestly him rushing less might force them to build a better offense early and carry that throughout the second half of the year versus it tailing off.
Yeah. Rocky, why do you hate the Colts?
Where did this come from that
I don't know. I don't know where he got that I love the Colts either.
I'm not a big fan of the receivers, I guess. I think I've said that. I've never been a big Pierce guy. Downs is fine, but he's a wide receiver, NFL wide receiver too. And Alec Pierce is not a wide receiver one, NFL wide receiver or fantasy wide receiver one. So
there was Pittman, though.
That's true. He was closer to an NFL wide receiver one than Alec Pierce or Josh Downs is to me. But right, he wasn't exactly that. But yeah, I mean, and also Jones is coming back from a serious injury. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe we're so far advanced in terms of the medical and all that that he's just going to be exactly like he was last year. But and I do think that him running less is not necessarily a good thing, because Daniel Jones is fine, but he's not a great passer, and I think the running helps him out and helps him move the offense better. So I think that could be a problem if he's not able to run. And again, don't love the receivers, and I do love Warren, though.
Yeah. I will clarify one thing on my love for the Colts offense. I don't know if I love the offense. I loved the fact that Daniel Jones was ranked behind Bryce Young, Sam Darnold, Cam Ward, Jared Goff, like, you know, CJ Stroud. I think that's a undervalue for what he probably could be. I acknowledge that an Achilles tear is not something you can just rush back from, but if he's cleared, he's cleared, right? So, and then the other part of the Colts was Alec Pierce was placed on PUP. I don't think anyone was too surprised. He said he was slowed because of the ankle or surgery he had in March. I don't know what this does for the season. You can take people off PUP before the start of the season, so I think that's probably what happens, but we'll just have to watch him. One other thing I wanted to add, I forgot to put in the sheet before we get to the injuries. Baker didn't get extended, and it seems like it's very do or die for the Bucs this year with Bowles and Baker and that whole system. So, Kendall, are you worried about Ibuka in Dynasty yet, or do you think he's QB agnostic?
I'm just less worried about the whole situation. Baker seems like he's really grown up. And when you hear his interactions, like the behind the scenes stuff, that's a little bit less about the football. Mm-hmm. I think that stuff matters when it comes to contract talks, like what's happening versus what you could project. And I really think this is the Vita Vea thing. I just think the lawyers in the front office are doing their thing with the agents. And it always feels bad from the fan perspective. And I think Baker honestly just called it off and said, last year wasn't great and I was banged up. And that can't happen again. So this is getting in the way, and it's time to play football. I'm fine. If we're good, I'm here. I think he's locked. And the Bucs resurrected his career in a major way. I think he's going to stay loyal and run it out. So I'm not worried about him leaving. I know that's been some speculation that maybe if it's not a good season, what will happen? The roster might shift a little bit. But I'm still pretty bullish. If there was a dip to buy, I think I would buy it, but it's mostly because recently I've been looking at Baker last year, and I think there's a lot of reason to believe he'll be a lot better this year. And Ibuka, I'm a big Matt Harmon guy, right? So when Matt Harmon talks about him moving in into a new role and thinks that'll really unlock him, I just automatically believe him usually. So I'm taking that side, but my exposure to Ibuka and Dynasty might be shading me, red a little bit on him, but we'll see.
Rocky, same question.
Yeah, I agree on Baker. Like, I think he's fine. Like, and I think he has grown up a lot over the years. I really like him as a quarterback. I don't think this is going to affect him or anything. The fact that he doesn't have the contract. I worry a little bit about Ibuka in particular, just because he faded so hard after the first month or so of the season. Now, you could make the argument that his best success was when all the receivers weren't healthy, and now Mike Evans is gone. So maybe he just is what he was the first month of the season, now that he's probably going to have a Kendall said, a different kind of role, a more prominent role with basically just, Godwin there in terms of like established guys. Mm-hmm. So he's a question mark for me. I did like him coming out, like a lot of people did. I just would, if he was that good, even with Evans and Godwin there, I would have expected, like, I'm looking at it, and it's like a lot of single-digit games over the last three quarters of the season. Mm-hmm. So I would have expected a little more talent to shine through, even with Evans and Godwin, and especially, like, Evans is, later days at this point. Godwin is no spring chicken and has been banged up. So, like, I would have expected more after that first month, even if we don't get how good that first month was. So, I'm very curious to see how it pans out. I think it's somewhere in between those two things, but I'm curious how close it is to that first month compared to how close it is to the rest of the year.
I think that's what people's sleeper case for Jalen McMillan is that.
So glad you brought this up.
Falls off.
Yeah, I listened to the show the other day, and I literally have in my notes that, like, oh, I found another McMillan truther. We're gonna have to talk about this.
There we go. I think on Baker's, he's 31. He's not ancient, but he's not young either. 31's kind of in the middle for a quarterback, especially for someone who like runs headfirst like he does. He might need to stop doing that soon, but. I mean, Dak bet on himself and it worked out. So maybe Baker will do the same thing. And I understand Jerry kind of has a weird, like, love thing with Dak Prescott, but I think Baker betting on himself is going to work out fine. Okay. we'll just burn through all the injury stuff at once. Mahomes is fully cleared for practice. Rashee Rice is fully cleared for camp. I don't know what the difference is, but it was listed as two different things. Charbonnet has been placed on PUP. Neighbors is not on PUP. Tank Dell is not on PUP. And Tucker Kraft, I think they said basically ready for week one. So, Kendall, your biggest takeaway from that list?
I think overall, the Charbonnet news, he's a little farther ahead of schedule. And I think the Jadarian Price owners are really going to be in a full panic on that one. Mm-hmm. If Charbonnet gets healthy fast enough, I think it limit, like, you know, the first game or two, like, it's going to be some sort of a split and then Price is supposed to run away with it. But if Sharps gets healthy just at the wrong time, I think it really throws his dynasty trajectory from a value perspective askew a little bit. So I think that's kind of the big one. We'll probably get into the neighbors one. I just think we need to hear more. I'm not trying to overreact to it because the reaction is actually we were just burying him as like not being available. And this may have been more expected all along, perhaps. Obviously, that's huge for Jackson Dart and the Giants. Tank Dell's interesting news. I'm not going crazy with it yet. He could still be a nothing burger. So it's probably the neighbors and Sharps for me that are taking my keen interest to follow up on.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest takeaways for me is how much we tend to overrate how bad these injuries are. Like, we almost always say, okay, this guy's missing the early part of the season. This guy's missing, like, Mahomes may be back. Neighbors may be back.
He had a cane, Rocky. Malik Neighbors was walking on a cane.
And they're saying he could be ready for week one.
I know.
And I think we've talked about before, it's not in this group, but that Kittle is likely to be ready for week one, at least what the Niners are saying. So I think we maybe need to – like, I think all these guys, you have to assume they get off to slow starts, even if they're back week one. I think that is fair. I don't think we need to be factoring in. Like, people were discounting Neighbors in trades in the non-point scoring season because he might miss, like, half the season or whatever. And that I think that's clearly not going to happen, unless he has some setback between now and September. But even if he's not back week one or – you know, I don't think he's missing half the season or even a month. I think he's probably back week two or three. I mean, it could be the first month if they put him on in-season PUP, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I think maybe, again, like I said earlier, maybe it's just medical technology getting better, as every year goes by. But I think we might need to pump the brakes on this guy is out the first month of the season for sure. He might not be back till week eight, all that kind of stuff, regardless of when they get. Like, Mahomes was hurt in like November, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's looking like he's going to be okay to start the season. So, like, I think we just need to be a little more, less overreactive to how long these injuries are going to be. That's actually the biggest takeaway from all this to me.
No, I won't do that because it's more fun to discuss it that way. No, I agree. I think the Rashee Rice thing was fully cleared. Obviously, he still has some stuff looming, and I'm just going to leave it at that. Albert Breer did put out that Charbonnet is a potential close call to be ready for week one, and I didn't even put that in the notes because what the heck does that even mean?
I know. So, a potential close call.
Yes. The Seahawks are going to be smart with him in the hopes that they get his best when it matters most. I think if you made me bet, he's going to be on the PUP, which is what, like 3 weeks at the start of the season, and there's just no reason to sprint him back. You have Price, you have Emmanuel Wilson, you have all these other Helani. They can get through the first couple games without Charbonnet, and I think they will probably do that. Mahomes being fully cleared is a good thing, though. All right. So, Kendall, normally we have the guest decide, but there's only one trade, so we're going to go to...
Trade Addicts Trade!
And I love you, Rocky, but I'm not sure this deserves the song. So, Garrett Wilson for... Trade Addicts Leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 per tight reception, 0.05 per turn yard in all leagues except TA1, and this is a TA10 trade. What?
I was just going to say, I mean, this is literally the trade of the week. There's only one, so...
Outhouse trade of the week. Outhouse trade of the week. We're gonna talk about a trade addicts trade, whichever one Rusty decides.
Dude, that brought back some memories, man.
shout out Zach Reed for the song. The trade is Garrett Wilson for Marvin Harrison, Gunnar Helm, a 27 and 28 third. Kendall, what do you think?
That's probably any good analyst's thought is Yeah, I think there's some context here, right? I lean the Marv side, but mostly due to the flexibility of what you can do and unlock with. I'm a sucker for thirds, and I'm not a sucker for one third. I'm a sucker for proper draft strategy when you acquire an extra 1 to 2 thirds every year like clockwork. You never miss Puka and you never miss McBride if you always have two extra thirds. You just always hit. That happened to me a lot. So I tend to lean on if you can get it for decent value, just get those extra guys in, because come draft time, those thirds can be flipped for future seconds very easily. And you can spin that up pretty quick when it's close. I'm a massive Garrett Wilson fan. I heard you guys talking about him the other day, too. And I know we got some G-Dub fans probably playing with the best quarterback he's ever played with in an offense that has other weapons. I think Garrett Wilson
is such a sad comment, by the way. Given who the quarterback is.
Remember when we were like, man, DJ Moore has it rough, dude. A guy can't catch a break. Like, DJ Moore's like, no, I'm kind of lucky, actually, low key. Right? Yeah, he's the guy. I just think Garrett Wilson is a guy that can full Amon-Ra St. Brown wide receiver 3, like, right away. And we'll just see it week one and be like, yep. I think he's a best ball winner for me. I think when he hits, it's going to be unreal. I'm just a big fan of the talent. But if you're not contending right now, you know, I think his trade value, he's going to be 27 soon enough. And I think that's enough of a visual cue that you just want the young weapons. If I'm playing to contend in those seconds, I'm taking Garrett Wilson if I want to win this year and I have to. In almost any other case, I'm just going to take the youth. Your tight end premium in this is pretty well set up, where Gunner is honestly not a bad flex play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Marv side for the value. My heart says go win a title with Garrett Wilson, but I gotta say there's 12 teams in the league, usually you're 10, and there's 11 people that all were a little disappointed, and I think you're on that side more often than not. Any day you don't win your league, I think you'd rather have the Marv side.
Yes. Rocky,
you know what you're saying?
Yeah.
I was waiting to see if you were saying it, because that's my trade.
Oh, so it's Garrett Wilson, easy for me. And if you look at his schedule, to Kendall's point, he plays at Tennessee, Green Bay at home with probably no Micah Parsons, because that was the other news that came out. Detroit, who lost like 4 defensive backs. Chicago, who, I don't know, Kendall, we might not have a defensive backfield yet. We have to see. And then Cleveland at home. So, I mean, his first 5 games are great. And that's compared to, by the way, we talked about the Colts before. They played Baltimore, Kansas City, Houston to start. So.
Yeah, wow, that's night and day.
Geez. Get ready to buy Jonathan Taylor when he sucks for 3 weeks, and then he's going to be worth a lot. But
don't tell anybody, man. That's my plan.
Yeah, right. I think this is easy Garrett Wilson for me. I'm not done with Marv, but I'm getting really close to being done with Marv, because I'm really kind of tired of all these coaches making excuses for him. And I have also said, like, what's his name? Gannon used him wrong, but let's see how this goes. And if he stinks again this year, I'm probably out. So give me the chance that Garrett Wilson, who's done it before, bounces back with a good quarterback. Also, the fact that Garrett Wilson is 26 makes me really mad, because the Jets have just like burned his young years. Like, they've just set him on fire. He's 3 years older than Ted McMillan. Okay. Let's go ahead. It's your trade. Sorry.
Which side are you?
I can just not say anything about it.
No.
Yeah, I'm really curious. I think it's like a really dead even trade. Like, the only last thing, just before you jump in, that I mentioned is there's an out to the Marv side that I think really matters the year you trade it. If Marv is absolute just trash and you still own your 27 first, it's a better deal. Because if he's terrible, this can set up a full tank for any number of very, very spicy options. You know, this trade could set up a tank that could lead to that. So because there's that out, I think it helps that side. But I will say it needs that side. If you were doing this trade at the tail end of 2025, looking at 26 picks, that is a different story. Where if you lose, like, no one cares, right? You're going to end up with Eli Stowers or something. It doesn't matter. So
It's funny you say that. This team, this is year three or four, actually maybe four or five of Trade X10. I contended for a while. This is team like that is fading, middling, leaning towards far more towards non-contention than contention. I actually been lazy with a little lazy with the team and need to probably move some more pieces off here as we get closer to the season. Like I still have Kyron Williams. I still have the aforementioned DJ Moore, which I'd probably like to get rid of. So I did send Garrett Wilson away. This was actually offered to me though. It's also funny because what Kendall said at the beginning, this was offered to me as Marvin Harrison and Gunnar Helm straight up for, well, it's not straight up, but Marvin Harrison, Gunnar Helm for Garrett Wilson. And I didn't think that was quite enough. I asked for a second. Heath shot back a third. I asked for 2/3. So that's how we got to that point. So I definitely wanted the picks added in. I do have my own 27 first. And I kind of had that same thought that if Marvin Harrison is awful, well, then my 27 first just got more valuable. And I am going to move some other pieces off here anyway. My hope is obviously that he's not horrible. Like I'm a big believer in that. Even if you're trying to rebuild, you don't have to be you don't have to lose every point that you can off your roster. Like if I end up with a good young receiver, I'll be very happy with that. Even if he scores enough points to put me at like the 103 instead of the 101 or something. So yeah, that was basically, it was basically sort of like the start of rebuilding a little bit. And I do like Gunnar Helm a little bit. He was sneakily good in tight end premium last year. And obviously, as he was just a rookie, so room to improve there. Hopefully that offense is improving. But yeah, I'm not like crazy bullish on Marv, but I still believe in the upside. And like I said, if he stinks, I think that's not great, but it's not the end of the world for me because, like I said, it improves my pick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you ever need some self-esteem on that trade, I have one that I'll share with you guys one of these days offline or whenever you want to, where I ended up selling Jahmyr Gibbs in a big package that involved Marv as a cornerstone piece. So I really went off the deep end with that one. So I think Garrett Wilson is probably more moderate.
Yeah. I have no idea what the heck to do with my TA10 team. I'm staring at it right now, and it's kind of in the middle. I know Pewin and I were talking for a while, but anyway, we can move on to the listener question.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions, and I want to have them answered immediately.
Thank you, Arnold. We start with Andrew Hall, and Andrew Hall, have F. He says, favorite beer and favorite beer type. Shout out, Andrew, for Trunk Beers, Volume 4, I want to say. Five,
I think
worked out great. Had an excellent turnout. So shout out to him. Kendall, what is your answer to the question?
This is a tough one. As a guy who spent some of his time bartending downtown Chicago and at a few places, I've had my fair share of exclusives in that. So it's kind of hard to pick. I'm going to take one that's not like out of left field or like one of Three Floyds like rare drops where it's just it's not there. My go-to like everyday sip that I can't get anymore is actually Green Line from Goose Island.
Is that gone?
Maybe I think it's just Goose IPA now. Okay. I think they got rid of the green. I think you still find it in a couple of places, but when like I just moved to Chicago. I found my place that I want to go to for brunch when I'm not working, right? It happened to be the Goose mm-hmm. Island, like gastropub, right? Mm-hmm. And going there and grabbing a Green Line and watching a soccer game. Those are good memories for me. So a little bit of nostalgia, but give me some Green Line.
Rocky, your answer is Yingling, right?
I was just going to say, I think anybody who knows me or listens to this podcast on a semi-regular basis already knows my answer to that question.
Yes. Andrew had about 100 different types of beer, and I think Rocky's like, I'm just going to have my Yingling. Don't touch it.
Pretty much.
That's great. I'm more of an IPA guy. Just I'm pretty diverse on what I like. It depends on the day, but heavier and more flavorful over kind of lighter stuff normally. Okay. Kevin, clearly not Kevin Duppy's kind of social. I asked favorite Christopher Nolan movie because Odyssey's been crushing it. So his answer was The Dark Knight because of the great shots of Chicago. Rock, you can take a break for a second. What is your favorite Chicago cuisine, Kendall?
Favorite Chicago cuisine? Wow. Wow. You mean
Chicago
like
Tavern Pizza is my answer.
I was pretty close to Chicago Thin, you know?
And yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You said it correct. Yeah. You know what's going on there. Give me some Pequot. I mean, I worked at Giordano's, so naturally all my friends worked at the places I actually went to go eat. So yeah, give me some Pequods and I'll take that to away any day.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Underrated though. Underrated. I'm definitely gonna say it's not so much street food, but there's any place that's open till 2 AM on your walk home in Chicago, they're still pretty nice. You can get some Vietnamese places or some bowls of pho that's pretty fire.
Yep. Love that. And then he says, now that we're nearing August, what players are you hoping to acquire in trades or sell off because of the market hype? I mean, Emeka Buka is a sell if I could, but I don't think I have him. Kendall, what's your answer?
Man, there is a couple here. I would say first and foremost, I think Zay Flowers got a lot of love in the fantasy community. I'm buying into it, but I have some teams where I can't use the production, and I think it's still I like Zay Flowers. I agree with the take, but I'm going to use it to just max out and capitalize and flip to something else, because even if he's great, I think when he turns 27, he'll no longer be a young wide receiver and his value will change. So I like that a little bit. I'm looking to acquire a lot of little pieces on the Chargers if I can. I really like Keaton Mitchell. He's hyped, but I think he's going to go up in price actually. So I want to buy a couple shares of him. Right now, I like a lot of my post-type sleeper wide receiver twos, we had mentioned Jalen McMillan, big fan of his. Big buys, I want Tet McMillan everywhere I can get him. I think his role change is going to be absolutely fantastic, and Coker taking some of the pressure off of him, I think is going to really, really work. Big names, Roman BTJ, my best two buys right now. I know they're in, but I will gladly overpay for both of them. I think Rome's probably my best value on any board format there is. Give me whatever I can. Now that the Luther Burden hype's a thing, to answer the question, I'm going to use that hype to buy Rome at cost.
Well, he stole one of mine. I've been touting Rome basically for months. I like the BTJ call too.
Me too.
One of my sells based on the market value, and I don't think I have any of this guy. This also is not going to be a surprise, and he's on the same team as Colston Loveland.
You're a sell on him?
I got his price, yes. I think he is like
Rocky doesn't believe in tight end overpriced. Yeah.
Yeah. I just think he's way overpriced. I think a lot of it is just based on a month to 6 weeks of play, and maybe that continues, maybe it doesn't. But I don't want to pay I would take two plus two firsts or whatever people are paying for him at this point, especially in tight end premium, to have that be somebody else's question to answer. And I'm trying to think if there's anybody else buying. He's not cheap anymore, but I'm still buying in on Jalen Waddle, even at inflated prices, because I just think he's going to be so good in Denver. But he's not really I think he's been hyped up. So he and to some people he may be a sell. I am still buying in. I've been waiting for the Jalen Waddle full breakout to happen since second year, and he's been sliding since due to Tyreek or injury or whatever quarterback. So those are my names.
I love that Waddle pick. I would hedge him by buying a Pat Bryant with the trade, though, because I think if Waddle's somehow not it, Pat Bryant is massively underrated, where he's still a high second round pick.
Yeah. Whatever I've said about Devontae Smith and Travis Etienne over the last couple weeks, copy paste, those are buys.
That's got a trend, by the way. You're the first person I think that's said that, the Etienne. That's got to be a thing now. That's absolutely brilliant.
I think other buys, I like Rocky's call on Waddle. I like DJ Moore. In the 30s is where I'm seeing him right now. I'll take that all day long. I'm really struggling because I've fallen for Breece Hall the last 2 years, and everything is set up for him to be really good, except for the fact that he's on the Jets. But I'm considering buying again because I think a lot of people are scared of the Jets, and I think they're going to be I'm not going to go crazy and call them top 10 again, but I'm going to say they're going to be better than people think. So I will go with that for now, because I think their defense is going to suck. They don't have anyone on defense.
No sauce so anymore. Yeah.
They're going to have to play a lot of catch up. So, and Breece Hall knows how to catch the ball. So that's kind of my answers. I don't exactly know who I'm selling. I mean, I guess like Travion maybe, just because I'm scared.
That is
of,
so funny. I was just going to ask about him. I was looking at the ADPs trying to find names. Like, he's, I know, and we always say startup value does, and mock draft value does not equal trade value, but he's valued at RB11. If you can get RB11 prices for him, yeah. I would do that in a second.
Like, who's below him? Like, I think I would take
Kenneth Walker, Christian McCaffrey, Quinshon Judkins.
All day.
Yeah, Saquon, Kyren.
Like, I know Judkins is probably going to have a rough year this year, but we're doing this, like, projection thing with Jeremiah Love, and that's why he's a top five rookie running back already, and we're not doing that with Judkins, and I don't quite understand why. So
Judkins can learn to catch passes. He like can't legally drink yet. I mean, he like we just barely turning 22 right now.
Yeah,
I these backs that like I like Scadaboo, but he's 24. He's kind of like a Woody Marks. They're old. Yeah. Judkins is so young. Everyone said David Montgomery wasn't a pass catcher, and I'm like, he's not known for it, but he's had his days. I think Judkins can get five targets a game. I think it can happen. I think it will happen.
Yeah. This is the time to buy running backs, which is probably why I'm saying all my buys are running backs. So, the sells, get me out of Tootin. I'm kind of over this like they're both going to be awesome type of thing. I think they're just going to drive us crazy. So, I'm out on Tootin. Okay. Dynastud said, I almost never watch movies, but Googling it seems the only Christopher Nolan movies I remember seeing are Memento and Inception, so I'll go Inception. Kendall, what is your favorite Christopher Nolan movie?
Easiest question of the day is The Prestige.
Oh, interesting, that's my brother's choice. Answer.
I love that movie so
I have
much.
Never seen it. My brother swears by it. I need to watch it.
I actually forgot that was a Nolan movie. I've only seen it once, and it was not long after it was out in the theaters, so I don't remember loving it as much as Kendall does, but it was a good movie.
Yeah.
And I haven't probably seen as many Nolan movies as I should have, but I'm not huge on the Batman movies like some people are, and I've not seen Oppenheimer.
Did you see Dunkirk?
You're not seeing Dunkirk. I've not seen a lot of the recent ones.
You need to watch Dunkirk, even if you don't like it. It's one shot the entire movie.
Oh, that's that movie. Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
No, I'm switching Rise. That's the wrong movie there.
Okay.
I think there's something else.
I know there's some more movie that's like
you got to watch that one, though, man. I've been talking about that one for a minute. I watched that one the other day. That one is phenomenal.
I have seen Inception and Memento. And I actually would go Memento there. I actually just watched it for like the first time in 20 years with my son, and it still holds up great. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
Did the kid get it?
Yeah, he's 15, so he's old enough to understand what's going on. And yeah, he liked it a lot. We also actually watched Interstellar too recently. So.
Yeah, Interstellar's up there actually, but I will go.
People Dark love Knight. That movie. I wasn't as high on it as some people told me, like how amazing it was. I mean, it was good.
The high effect is real, you know.
Yeah. I'll probably go Dark Knight. And that just feels like the easiest answer for me. That's the one I always kind of stop on if I pass it. Channel surfing or anything like that. Whenever I still channel surf, I don't really do that much anymore. Okay. Following my Burrow question last week, first game F, Mary Kill, then keep trade cut. I propose a new version, trade up, trade down, or hold. We might actually have to keep this. So I made a list of people we've already talked about somehow without even planning that. So I give you Kendall, Marvin Harrison Jr., Zay Flowers, and Jalen Waddle. Trade up, trade down, or hold.
Is this like tier up, tier down? Is that how you're reading that?
Sure. Yes. Let's say like I didn't.
I wasn't exactly sure what the terms trade up, trade
down.
We're gonna
fine tune this, but I think this would be a good experiment going forward. Marvin Harrison, Zay Flowers, Jalen Waddle.
We'll go one at a time so we can go take and take. Marv, I'm gonna go hold if I had to pick.
Okay.
I can run down the line here. Marv hold. Zay, I'm going to tear up. Waddle, probably going to hold or tear up.
Yeah.
We get to pick one of each, right?
I think it's like after a kill, you have to do one of each.
Exactly the three. Yeah. All right, then we're going to hold we're going to hold Marv. We're going to tear up Flowers. I'll find a right buyer to tear down on Waddle and grab some extra thirds while I'm at it. I just don't love doing that to Waddle. But
yeah.
I pretty much echo Kendall exactly.
Really?
We got to get in the league, bud.
I know.
I don't want to, but
Waddle is surprising.
Who else am I tearing down from there?
Marvin. Like, that's my answer.
What are you tearing down? Like, I feel like he's already kind of undervalued a little bit now.
Which
he probably should be given his production, but
you can tear down to Waddle.
I value Waddle higher than
right.
Marv, so.
I've actually tried that and I couldn't get it done. The guy was adamant Waddle's better.
You tried to trade Marvin for Waddle?
No, straight? I wanted a bunch of extra picks. No, I wanted a slew of I was doing my like I'll take all your leftover picks too. I agree. The idea is Marv's trade value is really bonkers. Mm-hmm. It's weird. Everyone will say they want the world for him, but when you flip it the other way, they seize up pretty quickly. It's a lot of like 2-year window versus 3-year window thinking, where if you're on the shorter end of the stick on how you play Dynasty in shorter windows, you just can't stomach Marv for any price.
Yeah. I miss Russ's trade show because this would have been a good little tier for him to do this with, like the trade calculator and all that stuff. That would have been good for this, but my answer would probably be tear up from Flowers, hold Waddle, and tear down from Marvin to, like, I'm staring at the football guys' rankings again, like Terry McLaurin I can tear down to. Like, I'll do that. Or
I don't hate that either.
Can't get
Wandale, even. Like, you can get it first. I mean, like, you can do a lot with that. So I'll do that. I'd rather do that than try and trade Waddle. Okay, Rocky, you can start this one. Were the Eagles' offensive struggles because of Hurts, Petullo, or both, and how does that impact your projections of, let's just say, the main crew? He lists them all, but the main crew.
That's easy. Kevin Petullo. He was awful.
I think so, too.
Hurts has proven how good he is, both in real life, and he's good from a fantasy perspective. But he is he's a better passer than I think some people give him credit for, especially Eagles haters. He's not Matt Stafford, you know, in the pocket, but he is a solid passer. His accuracy has improved over the years. I think it was down a little last year, but I mean, just in generally speaking, just watching him on an everyday basis, his accuracy has definitely improved. I think the game plans were awful last year, a lot of them, and I think a lot of it was the play calling. And I do think they could be. I thought they were going to be more pass heavy last year, and they weren't really. But I do think they'll be more run centric again. So I'm not expecting him to have some crazy year this year, especially with the loss of AJ Brown. But I do think it was mostly Petullo, and I do think Hurts will be just fine for fantasy. We'll run for his fair share of touchdowns, and the offense will be better than it was last year.
I have a parlay with Hurts, Caleb, and Chuck to all throw 25 passing touchdowns this year. I'm feeling pretty good about it right about now.
My only worry would be Hurts' legs, but take away some of those passing touchdowns.
Yes, but 25 on 17 games is like one a game. I think he can get there with that. But,
yeah.
Kendall, what do you think of the Eagles this year, just as a whole?
Eagles as a whole? Dude, they're a Madden team. I mean, they're like, if you're playing video games, you're going to get hurt, dude. Like, they are all real nice on paper. My short Eagles takes one. I think Saquon Barkley is a potential league winner. Like, he's not an auto league winner, but I think he's still really good, takes care of himself, doesn't screw around. And any day now he's going to catch more passes than AJ Brown just left. So the day they decide that needs to be part of the playbook, you know, new coaching staff coming in, that could be I mean, that could be stupid. Like, Saquon could literally be a top three back. Again, I think we're discounting that way too much in the street. So he's kind of my, if that take hits, I'm going to win a lot of money this year. If not, I mean, it's probably not mediocre. It's probably burnt toast otherwise. But it's why I keep that to best ball. Who is at fault? Pitsulo and A.J. Brown, for sure. The combination of my, like, short take on this is I'm a business guy, but I really like comparing NFL and fantasy, like how things are valued, comparing it to like regular white collar business with producers, right? The athletes are producers, so are white collar individuals that are doing sales or marketing, right? I have not seen a massive business that if the leadership dynamic and like the team lead dynamic is off, that those high end producers aren't still going to be a mess and the overall unit's not going to work. You see that across multiple sectors, industries, verticals. I don't think professional sports in the NFL should be any different in a sport where you start 11 people at a time. This is not basketball. It's a team game, and leadership really, really matters. Hurts was the soul of that team, and when you cut his legs off because you're giving in to A.J. Brown and you're not handling that locker room the way that a McVay just absolutely owns it with a high level of respect – When you lose that, it's your fault. You're the adult in the room. You're there to coach, not play. Just make sure it's a good room, right? The Seahawks, that speech that they gave, that won them a Super Bowl a year before it happened, right? Yeah. I'm blaming it all on Pitsulo, but I'm also going to say A.J. Brown, they probably should have got him out of the building earlier. Anybody that says they were better with A.J. Brown doesn't – you probably have a nice job, and you probably like the people you work with. But if you're on the other side of the coin and you've had that environment – you know what talent without leadership and cohesivity does. And it burns money for a living. And I think it just did that to the Eagles. So change of pace and an underrated lemon. Sign me up. I'm back in. And I think Hurts is not the world's best passer of all time, but he's gifted and he's talented. We're giving too many quarterbacks with less talent passes. Like, I like Goff, but he's kind of good, but he doesn't have as many traits that'll just win a Super Bowl, right? In fact, I saw him lose some. Where Hurts maybe can't pass like he does, but he's very talented and he's got people around him. Stop making excuses for other quarterbacks and give a few to Hurts.
He's got real, that dog in him.
Real quick on your bet, Frank. I thought this was funny because I looked at it. Jalen Hurts has had one season with 25 passing touchdowns,
and he's gonna do it again, baby.
And it was last year.
Yeah,
which we're just talking about how bad the offense was last year.
Yep.
It's super. The only season he's got 25 touchdowns.
wouldn't be the first time I did a bet that lost. I've been in on the Eagles, and that has very little to do with the man sitting to my right, but I just think they're all undervalued. And let me buy as much as I can. Everyone except Goddard, because I think regression is an evil mistress, and I think that's coming for him this year. So I don't think anyone catches like 10 touchdowns on 40 catches or whatever the heck he did last year. So we can move on. Oh, he says, anyone worried about Pitsulo making Willis bad again in Miami? I'm just going to say this quickly. No, it's not his offense. I'm not worried at all.
I'm not convinced Willis was that good. So
fair enough. I'm going to say no. Assuming normalish roster limits and scoring rules, though, may have to define what those are first. Let's say TA scoring minus return yards. Good God. More positional requirements, less flex. I should have read this. With spots and with shorter benches, so like 25 to 28 spots. What percents do you want at each of the quarterback, running back, wide receiver, 10 end? So like what – I mean, that's
– Dynasty roster construction. Yeah,
dynasty roster construction. Kendall, what do you think?
All right, I'll try to go quick because you can go people a million sell ways. This, right? Yeah, right? You know, this advice. I don't want to take too much.
There is no template to this. I think it's the start.
I overdraft quarterbacks in round two for the upside. I end up with more dart throws as a side effect. It's not intentional. It's just I'm always in on the Jackson, the darts and the Knickses when I can. It sometimes happens that way. And I'll pick up your Brissettes cheap a year early. I want the most running backs, but not high end. I don't want to just be stuck with high end running backs. An injury happens. They get too old on your roster and you have Jahmyr Gibbs and don't win a league. That's bad to have them age out. But what I do want is, because in Dynasty, handcuffs actually make sense because the roster cost is actual nothing. I instead of having sort of like a mediocre RB 3 and 4 super startable, I would rather have your Dylan Samsons, your Blake Corums. I want to have 3 or 4 of those guys. I want to have good RB 1, but you can solve RB 2 100 different ways. It's paid money in best ball, that strategy. So I'm going to be deep on my bench running backs that can, you know, when to start them. Injury happens, you know, when to start them. Puka goes down. I'm not exactly rushing to start Jordan Whittington or whoever else is on the team, right? So it's different at wide receiver. That's where I'm going to be thin. I want to be hot, top heavy at wide receiver, but I don't need depth. Quick caveat on that is every single pick in a rookie draft these days in the modern college NFL game, there's always a good wide receiver to take. There isn't always a good anything else. Look at the second round of rookie drafts this year. It's just all, right? It's just all wide receivers. So I want to be able to take my JSNs and Garrett Wilsons and not have to reach for the Jadarian prices, because a lot of people just did because they needed it instead of taking best player available. So a little thinner on wide receiver, and I'm opportunistic on tight end. I'm going to draft them, not buy them. I'm not going to hoard them for the most part. I'm going to be fine being a little bit thinner there if I had to.
I don't really think of it in these terms generally, in terms of like what percentage I have at each, but I'll just kind of go with like how Kendall was basically doing it. He didn't really give a flat percentage or anything, but I agree. Backup running backs, a lot of backup running backs. I tend to like to grab a decent amount of backup quarterbacks, on offenses that perform well. Even if a lot of that, even if a lot of that is due to the quarterback, but if they have good weapons around them, like I remember, like having Jake Browning on a bunch of rosters.
Sorry about that.
Became a bit of a thing. Well, hey, you could get a second for him after when Burrow got hurt a couple of years ago. He was performing halfway decent that like couple games if you could time the window right. So things like that. At tight end, I do like to grab a lot of tight ends. I tend to try to have one or two elite guys, but I like to take flyers on tight ends later in rookie drafts, athletic tight ends. And I'm with Kendall in that I don't tend to go heavy on receiver. Like he said, top end, but not a lot of depth at receiver.
Yeah. I am more of a just value on the board in front of me, and then I'll figure it out. But I think if you made me do it, I think that's right. I think a lot of backup quarterbacks, backup running backs with specifically ones that have like standalone value, like Pacheco, Mike Washington, guys who can do stuff without their guy getting hurt. And I think like everything else, I kind of agree with what they said. Okay, so... Did Kirk Cousins just become a comfortable QB3 option, assuming health, now that he's officially been named starter heading into camp? Or put differently, who's the worst guy you don't hate having this year as your QB3? Might be Brissett. I think we already talked about him.
I'll jump in real quick. It's a no for me. I saw a serious decline last year. New team with a new coach, and the whole team's trying to do things differently with new. It's so much new, and I don't know when Mendoza's coming in. He's the opposite of comfy for me. I would rather take a worse quarterback in a more known situation, because I'm looking for a start and points, not a let's see what he does for a few games, right? I'm looking for that week for the most part. I would much rather have Geno. I think Geno stands out to me. I know he's probably a true bridge, but I'd rather have a Geno in this particular, and definitely a Brissett too. So no for me.
Rocky, Kirk Cousins is your QB3 and TA10. Are you happy with that?
No, I am not a Kirk Cousins guy anymore. He's gotten very old. He's gotten very not good. I liked him because he was undervalued and would perform. He does.
Now he's properly valued
and doesn't perform. So, yes. So yeah, I just have a lot of remnants of Kirk Cousins on a bunch of rosters because I had so much Kirk Cousins to begin with.
Yes.
In terms of the other question, I think you guys kind of nailed it. The one other one I throw in there that I have a couple times this non-point scoring season is Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
Who's likely starting the entire year and has multiple young weapons really everywhere. So we will see how good Boston and Concepcion are, but we've already seen Fannin perform well. Judkins looked good when he was healthy. So it could lift up Watson, even if he's nowhere near the quarterback he once was. So,
God, the Browns are going to be begging for Geno Smith by the end of the year. It's gonna be
I know. Jets will probably trade him to him.
That's good.
I'm kind of scared by how injured his offensive line is already, but I'm kind of starting to like Bryce more and more and more just based on the stuff that's happening with the Panthers. I mean, Brooks is coming back. They have Chuba. They have Brazel and Leggett and all these other people to kind of help Tet. They're going to have JT Sanders back at tight end. I mean, I don't hate this offense. And he's, I think, entering year three or he's entering year four, but something he's still young. And I there's something interesting about him. I don't know if I would – I think I would probably go lower to be my QB3. I'd probably be okay with, like, a Watson or a Geno. I might even be okay with Rodgers. I think if not now, when? But I'm starting to like Bryce kind of a lot, and I'm not sure how I feel about it, but that kind of felt relevant as a QB3 kind of area.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm
getting closer to that take. If you need a buddy on that one, because you kind of need one when you're going in those waters with Bryce. I'm over invested in Tet right now from the trade market, not from the draft market. I'm like big on. I have to give Bryce a little bit of love if I'm going to be that in on Tet. But we'll
see. With the QBs coming in too, Bryce kind of has to do it right now. So I'm a little nervous about that, but he was pretty good in college and he's had some flashes. So we'll just have to see, but. Okay, did any of you make drunken trades during the expo? And if not during the expo, then generally have you ever made a drunken trade and how did they turn out? Kendall?
So I, former career bartender here, I should have worse to say here, but the way I do like the cocktail hour trades for me, I only have one bad one from memory, which I think I pulled up here. You know, it's not even that bad. And I don't even need my notes. I remember this one for sure because it's not bad. It's actually, it feels really good right now, kind of. I drunkenly bought Rome for way too much, but it was an initial offer problem. I just sent two firsts for Rome because I felt anything less was just not. I felt like I was going to be that guy that's like, dude, don't you like do YouTube and stuff and you're going to send me this trade? Like, I can't be that guy, right? So I'm going to give a reasonable trade. But this was the tail end of his rookie year when the Bears sucked and it wasn't going well. And mm-hmm. I could have just offered a first and a second and it would have been a snap accept. And he happily told me that he would have done that. So I absolutely know for a fact that I overpaid. That one was actually the worst it gets. I don't think that's too bad. Normally, drunk trades for me are, I like the premise. I probably started the conversation, right? And I'll start convincing myself that the premise is worth the extra value that they're piecing together and they're adding seconds, they're adding little pieces. And I'm like, I want to do it because I think I'm right. But I can't win the trade because I gave too much value in the end. Those are where I love what I did, but I don't love that I just basically gave somebody an extra $100 that I didn't have to. Not too bad. I get out of this one okay.
Yeah,
I did not make any drunken trades during the expo.
Me neither.
Partially because I'm far too lazy anymore to send offers most of the time. And I'm sure I've made a drunk trade or two in the past. I have no memory of like what it actually was.
That would make sense.
I was just going to say, not because I'm so drunk, but because I think it's been a while. Yeah. So I cannot point out an example for you how it turned out, unfortunately. I'm sure I have, but I don't know what they were.
I got a question for you boys. I had a follow-up prep for this one. What's more likely to end up with a worse trade? I'm drunk or I'm just in a hurry. I think for me, if I have to go, like I just got to go somewhere, but I spent 20 minutes in this conversation. I can't have this be a waste of 20 minutes because it was the only 20 minutes I had today. So let's just do it. And I only say this because I bought Bashal Tutin for too much, and you just mentioned he's bad overpaid. I'm like, you're so right, and I hate that you're right about it.
Yeah. I think the answer is actually door C, and it's when you're tilting, your playoff tilting. Because I have traded Garrett Wilson for Kyren, like basically straight up, to try and win a title because I needed a running back, and I didn't need a wide receiver at the time. So I think it's closer to that, but I think if you gave me your two answers, I think it's probably rushing because you're right. You felt like you committed time to it. And I don't know, because my answer to the drunk thing is I gave someone T. Higgins as a wedding present. I think I said that on the show one time. I like traded T. Higgins for a second as a wedding present because I was a little in the bag at the time. But so that might have been my worst trade. But
legend. That's a great wedding, man. I want to be at the wedding, dude. What else happened?
Yeah, a lot of things. But I think the answer is probably in a hurry, but I'm interested in Rocky's answer.
I mean, for me, that's pretty easy because I wouldn't care that I'm in a hurry. I would just put it off and do it later. So for me, it would be the drunk
part. I'm kind of struggling with
that
too.
It wouldn't make me go, well, I'll just take the offer. I would just be like, well, we'll pick this up. I am not doing that the way you're saying it right now. And we didn't figure this out. So whereas if I'm drunk, I might just be like,
we actually had a write-in question from Trade Addict Superfan because he wrote in late. So Kendall didn't prep for this one. He's prepped for every other question, which is more than most guests do. So we're going to get him on the spot. How do the Trade Addicts deal with a manager in the league that refuses to trade because he's scared of getting ripped off?
Okay. Couple ways to approach this, right? One, I'm glad we haven't ruined him from fantasy yet, right? We're still awesome. We're still having fun. I'd say this is where if you're his buddy and you're in the league, it's not collusion help him. We're trying to build the community, right? Talk it out with him. You're not telling him what to do. You're telling him ideas and concepts. He's got to make the call on what he believes in or doesn't believe in, but you help him value set and you give him some like what could be, right? If he's going to do it, tell him how it could happen in various doors and how likely that is and give him comps, right? I think that makes sense. So if you're the commissioner specifically, I don't commission any leagues anymore. I just don't have time for it. But if I was, or if I'm kind of like, I'm not the commissioner, but I'm the guy that is in way too many leagues and I've been here before, I'm going to like pull that guy aside, have a nice dialogue, keep an open chat and say, hey, entertain this. Just don't hit a button. Just come back to some, give him some reference. If you're the commissioner, find someone for him to buddy up with. If you know someone that can just co-own and it can be a fun thing for 1 year, you know, as kind of a fun training wheels where everything he does is with a senior advisor who's going to let him run, but they're going to have an expert with him. It's a really fun way. It's a good way to, you know, in organizational leadership and business, right? You have a mentor, they're going to pull you up the chain. You got to reach down to. I think it's the same principle in fantasy. We need to treat our young and up and coming people. The dynasty is great, right? But we got to get them having fun in dynasty first.
Right.
So find someone to pair them up with, give them a good mentor that has a little bit of time and he can bounce them off of. Helps if they're out of the league because it's not collusion. That's what I would do.
Yeah. Rocky?
I like everything Kendall just said there, and I would be fine to do that or give advice as commissioner. But in general, unless asked, I don't care that you're not trading. That's your prerogative as commissioner. If I'm pulled in, I would say pretty much everything Kendall just said, and I think the idea of having a co-owner that like that knows a little more is a good way to do it.
Yeah.
But if I'm not brought into the situation to begin with, then you can just have your little draft and watch guys retire team and we'll all trade around you.
Yeah, right. I agree link with podcast, that.
You know, he'll catch on.
Yeah, right. And I'm trying to kind of push him to do that, but we'll just have to see how that goes. Okay. What is your favorite week of the dynasty year and why? Can be point scoring season or non-point scoring season?
Opening day. Opening day, that first Sunday, seeing how, like, oh man, Bashal Tuten has a 40
setting your lineup
snap share. What, actual? Like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Like, oh, Marv catches a touchdown in the first quarter and then has three catches the whole game.
Yeah.
What did I just do? Right? Like, yeah. I just the
tilting's real.
The what happens? The like, there's not a number of devices or screens that exists for me to be satisfied because there's not enough information I can be looking at. That scramble of my wife trying to figure out if I'm happy or upset, and I'm not sure either. That's a great, that's just such a great day. I love that too. Rookie draft and then NFL draft, second and third on that.
I'm way more, I know most, a lot of people, especially podcasters I found, say they like non-point scoring season better than point scoring season. That's not me.
The founder of this podcast being one of those people.
Yes, exactly. So I would probably say the start, like the beginning of the playoffs, when everything has finally come to fruition, what I've been working for all year. It's also probably the time I'm most proactive about making trades because none of my leagues have trade deadlines. And like I just said earlier, I can be a bit of lazy ass sending stuff out. I will generally always respond and I will counter if I can. But I'm not the best at initiating offers all the time like I used to be. I would go with that. Like I said, I like point scoring season, and that's like sort of, and there's still hope that all my teams are going to win championships at that point too. Whereas title week, I'm down.
I'm not
like
dead yet. Teams
left. Yeah. So that's why I say the first week. That's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah. I think Kendall just sold me on the first Sunday being it. Cause like the way that's described, like there's a lot of hope, but you're right. There's a lot of tilting, right? Like, you say the Jets are going to be awesome, and the Jets were awesome week one. Do you remember Fields did like the run out, like quarterback wheel to his right for like 50 yards or something? Like the Jets were awesome. And we were like, I was like, I'm going to be so right about this. And then they sucked the rest of the year. Like there's so much fun overreactions that come out of week one. It's like you listen to like every podcast on earth just to hear how many people are tilting about what happened in 1 week of football when there's 16 more to go or 17 more to go, right? Like it's just, I think that's a good one. So I'm gonna steal Kendall's, but my second is NFL draft. And see, I don't like the playoffs as much because I'm like anxious, like I'm tight, and I like know I'm nervous about like every move I make, so I'm not as like psyched as Rocky, and I know that's probably like a good form of adrenaline, but I'm not like, I'm not there with that. So
you've been hurt too many times before.
I have. Yeah,
I know the feeling.
I think I went 0-4 in the championship last year, so that kind of ruins your Christmas. What type of unique dynasty league have you always wanted to play in but never have? I don't know if we can even ask Rocky this because I think he's played all of them. For me, it's contract leagues because that's probably the closest thing to being a real GM that we can get. Maybe also a league where you can draft full positional units instead of players. So like New Orleans QB as a position. Kendall, what haven't you played yet that you want to try?
Ooh, there's not much left. I'm a big fan. I'm a big theory crafter. I'm really huge into like it just 10-second rant. The betting markets don't need to own us. And Sleeper, if any of those devs are listening, you had a good thing going and you got really lazy and you've not moved the game forward in 5 years of that business. And you know, I'm talking directly to you, your whole staff right now. Okay. There are so many ways we can take fantasy football forward from a game theory perspective. Poker owns us. Like they've done it all and they keep doing more of it. And why does fantasy football stagnate? There is unlimited amounts of ways to have more fun from the game we love. So don't put it down. Keep theory crafting and make some cool stuff. We'll get there. The apps will catch on if we catch on. They go where the wallets go. But if I had to answer outside of that rant, but people need to hear that. I think it's like a tiered structure, kind of like the English Premier League, where I would like a relegation system where it's like, you know, five leagues and you can kind of like, top three up down.
Yeah.
You know, money's still the same. You're playing in that league that year, but the prestige of climbing, I think that adds like an extra element to Dynasty that is just a really fun wrinkle that I would love to be a part of. And the ability to have like multiple draft pods in the same area, like you and your 11 buddies drafting, but 50 guys together because it's the whole league tree. I think it's really, really cool. You could do some really special on-site, you know, in real life stuff with that. I think it's pretty exciting too. So that's one I really like to try.
Yeah. Frank, you're pretty much right. Because I can't really think of anything I want to play that I haven't played. I've done a relegation
league. You should talk to Ari about Draft Bus, by the way, if he wants to be in a salary cap league.
I've done a relegation league. I run a contract league. I run an ultra flex league. I played in a vampire league.
Have you done a guillotine?
Not in a long time, but I think I have. I guess I don't really have one, so maybe this is a good time to plug. Go check my pinned tweet if you're a fan Survivor fan. Go play Fantasy Football Survivor. It's Survivor and Fantasy Football combined into one. It's very weird and different. But if you like Survivor and you like Fantasy Football, you like it. So yes. It's in my pinned tweet if you're interested in playing.
Yes.
Plug here.
Yeah. To Kendall's point on Sleeper, I think they're going to get a serious kick in the ass when they see new MFL, because everything I've seen coming out of that looks great. And I know there are some MFL stands like Rocky who are going to be cheering from the rooftop when that's fixed. And there will be guys like me who don't like MFL that will be very happy that there's an app. So I think Sleeper has some serious competition coming from what I've seen. Actually, it's funny that Kendall brought it up. I have a new job this year, and my office does do a relegation. There's three leagues, and you play your way up and down. So I'm starting, I think, in the third league, and I have to work my way up. So I'm excited for that. Outside of that, I don't think I've ever done a vampire. I forgot what fish fillet was. I think it was a guillotine. So I did a guillotine. I've done a salary cap with Rocky. I loved and hated it all at the same time. I liked the concept of it. I didn't like the bickering over the rules because that got really in depth. And it's like, you know, why can't I franchise tag this rookie second year, whatever wide receiver? It's just a lot. And people would argue over like second year players that aren't really playing. But that's nothing against those guys, by the way. It's just not how I don't play that deep of a level. So I think that's kind of the main thing. Like, positional units would be fun. I think it would.
Yeah, see, I've never done that, but I have no desire to. So
I think it would be very stale, right? Like, yeah. You're just playing. There's no like start sit, right? You're just playing this big grouping of people. Like, there's less injury risk. There's like that ruins kind of like. And we all hate injuries. It ruins a little bit of the fun with it. Like, right? Like having the backup running backs and the backup quarterbacks that Kendall and Rocky talked about before. So anyways,
I'll throw one more in there. One league type that's not talked about. It's an asterisk. It's not really a pure league type, but we've seen it in other sports that have a crossover element where it's not just fantasy. It's fantasy, but you also play an additional game with your opponent and split the wins. Like it's fantasy football, but you also have to play the guy in chess. And it's a league where no one knows how to play chess. Like that sounds pretty wild for like a low buy-in with the boys, like have some fun, or you literally have to play Madden custom rosters kind of oriented to your team along with fantasy. And you do the same thing that we already do in the app, which is you can do against the spread and you can have multiple wins right per week. There's a way you could do that. And I think that would be really interesting. Pick a neutral, like no one knows how to do this. So we're going to do this on the side. If it's an actual in real life league, like golfing on Sunday and combining that with fantasy would be absolutely outrageous. I think it's really difficult to do. Most people can't, but if you could ever pull it off. Yeah. I mean, you asked a question if I ever could, right? Like the wish list. Like I would do that.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like the guys who like punch and who like
the box slap boxing stuff. Exactly what I was.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a fun way of thinking about it, but that's the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Kendall, for coming back. It was so good to have you back. Before we head out, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where you can find what you do?
Yeah, honestly, I'm a player first, wannabe analyst second. I got to get that off the chest. But we got a new YouTube channel with a new group of guys. We're brand new. We like just started up a couple months ago. So if you like these guys, and I do too, and you want to check out some other D-gens, check us out over at the Fantasy Football Network. We're trying to spin that up into something kind of fun. So we like just hit 100 subscribers, which is the craziest small little win of all time, but you got to celebrate the tiny ones. So that's where you can find me. That's where I'm putting some of my energy that I have left into fantasy this year. And yeah, we just do a ton of mock drafts. So if you like to mock draft, get out here.
Love that. And yeah, everyone go check out their network. It's the Fantasy Football Network on YouTube, and I will post the link when I tweet the show. But our stuff, patreon.com/treehawkspod. You can watch us while we record. You can see Kendall's beautiful Bears stuff behind him. We also have our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. And the most important thing is Fantasy Cares right now. There's too many campaigns for me to run through. Just go to fantasycares.org/campaigns. There's the Survivor, the One and Done, the Pick'em, everything. The merch store is great. And the show is Trivia Tuesday Night. Joey just closed out quote unquote trivia season. They're going to be off for about a week and then they'll be back. And then of course the Wednesday night hangout, which I am sure will be full of Canton stories. Here's a teaser for the listeners. Scott drank a pickle beer and man, did he hate it. So, we'll have to see.
Andrew talking about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll, I'm sure they'll get into that, tomorrow. And, last thing, it was great seeing everyone at the expo. Rocky and I are always so excited to see, people out there who love the show, and just it was a fun time, and we will be there next year. Well, I will be. I will never speak for Rocky, but he
I'm pretty sure I will be, but I'll make close to it. Yeah.
Yes. And that's it. As Rush Fisher always told us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Frank.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. A member of the DLF family of podcasts. And a proud member Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy fan, that is the best. See ya.